Yeah, it's Resonance, 104.4 FM, coming to you from the West End of London. My name is Max Kaiser, and I'm here with Stacey Herbert, and this show is called The Truth About Markets. The whole truth and nothing but the truth about markets. And the truth has a way of getting into the picture. Sooner or later, the truth will prevail. The Guardian newspaper here, Blair says, uproot this corporate ideology of evil. Tony Blair yesterday launched a campaign to help mainstream British Muslims confront the perverted and poisonous doctrines of corporate extremism in their midst. He warned MPs in the House of Commons that unless we attack these corporations from killing us with their carbon dioxide and their faulty software code and their sugar, which is causing us obesity, then we're all going to die, says Tony Blair. He made a special appeal to the Muslim community, saying, Muslims, unless you help us fight back against the corporate no-goodnicks like Exxon, BP, Microsoft, Coca-Cola, you know, we're not going to make it. We're begging you, Muslims, to help us fight these corporate ideological jihadists who are trying to kill us with their corporate model that values death over life. We saw this model in action last week. Ladies and gentlemen, we saw this action last week very clearly. Okay, on Thursday, there's a big bus bomb. Two things happened. A week before, there was huge speculation in the oil options market as people speculated that there would be a big terrorist attack, so-called terrorist attack. So they got insiders profiting from insider information. They knew the thing was going to happen. They were making money speculating in the oil options market. We saw the same thing happen before 9/11. Allegedly, Buzzy Krongard in Washington, D.C., former banker Alex Brown, bought options on put options on airlines and insurance companies, cashed in on that event with insider information. The bus went off on Thursday. You had 8,000 people in London taking up their spread bets, banking on their neighbors shedding blood. It's a bloodbath in London, and people were making tons of money, hand over fist. That's the culture you find in London. The UK suffers from a culture that knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. It's got no values. That's the problem. Check this out. How do you expect the kids growing up today to have any kind of appreciation for human life in any way, shape, or form when all the major corporations place no value on Earth? Planet Earth has no value, according to Exxon, BP, Chevron, Microsoft, PepsiCo, Coca-Cola. They simply see the Earth as an inexhaustible free resource that they can rape and pillage. There's no value to that. They don't place no value to it. So why would the kids have any sense of value placed on planet Earth itself? Same generation sees these corporations placing zero value in Africa. Live 8, G8, scam, sham, scandal. They're not placing any value on Africans. There's the status quo. It's the same business model, raping and pillaging in Africa. They haven't changed a goddamn thing. Bob Geldof just put a happy face to a very pernicious, ugly policy. Not even the Financial Times or the Wall Street Journal thought that the results of the G8 were particularly beneficial in any way to Africa. It was the same old stuff, rape and pillage. But now you got Bono and Geldof coming out there and saying, oh, we had a big concert, so everything's okay. You know what? This is called patronizing. They patronize people. Geldof and Bono are professional patronizers. They're patronizing their public. They're saying, you don't have to feel bad about Africa. Let these companies go in there and rape and pillage. You don't have to feel bad about it because you got a stupid little rubber armband on your head. That's what they're saying. They're professional appeasers. They're like Lord Tiddlywinks. Lord Snootypuss. Who was it? Lord the guy in World War II who appeased the Germans. Lord Chancellor, whatever his name was. Stacey Herbert, help me out on this.
I'm not sure. I would say Lord Mountbatten, but I'm not sure that
the guy
would
who appeased
right.
Hitler. The appeaser. The big appeaser.
Lots of people appeased.
The famous one.
The famous one. We'll I don't know. Well, send us an email.
They got no value. The corporations place zero value in animals. Okay? That's why these animal rights activists, they're activists. They're not terrorists. Bonehead Clark. They're activists. They don't like to see animals needlessly slaughtered because they know that the pharmaceutical companies, when they finish slaughtering all these animals, are going to come after humans next. Animals have no value. Africa has no value. The Earth has no value. Capitalism has made none of these things have any value. So when you say that people blowing up buses on Thursday don't respect human life or values, they're merely mimicking their heroes in the corporate world. They're hero worshiping Lee Raymond at Exxon. They're hero worshiping Bill Gates at Microsoft. They're hero worshiping the CEO of Coca-Cola. These are their heroes, so they don't mind killing people to make money. Okay, that's the truth about markets, my friends. That is the truth about markets. No ifs, ands, or buts. By the way, if you want to send us an email, you can send it to thetruthaboutmarkets@gmail.com. Thetruthaboutmarkets@gmail.com. We'll be happy to answer your emails if you have any. And for some reason, this next little story has been slipping and sliding out of my grasp. I have absolutely no idea why this is. But it's a very interesting story, and I'm going to get to it. Where does it go?
It's because I have this fan on.
I have no idea why these things are blowing away. God damn it. Right, here we go. Bookings are down at Ryanair, 10% after the bombings. This is interesting. Ryanair, Europe's leading low-cost airline yesterday, said that forward bookings had fallen by just under 10% in the 4 days following last Thursday's London bombings, compared with the levels of recent weeks. Michael O'Leary, Ryanair's chief executive, said, "It's bad for our shareholders, but the environmental considerations far outweigh the profits of our shareholders. Bookings are down, but the environment wins. Bookings are down 8,000 a day from the expected level of more than 100,000. A detailed breakdown was not yet available, but Mr. O'Leary said, "Look, I've made a whole boatload of money so far ripping off the environment in this company. If I got to give back some now and it's going to help people survive this carbon dioxide nightmare, well, I'm all for it." The Irish carrier's main base at London, Stansted Airport, which accounts for about 30% of the total traffic, of which more than half originates from abroad, put out a release saying that, quote, "We're sorry that a lot of our flights fly directly over people living in London, dumping millions of pounds of jet fuel on their heads and contributing to their ill health because we're selfish, greedy bastards, but picking up on what Michael O'Leary has done, we're thinking about diverting traffic away from people so that it doesn't fly directly over their apartments and houses right there in London," end quote. Ryanair also suffered a dip in bookings after the Madrid train bombings in March of 2004. Michael O'Leary then goes on to say that, you know, maybe these guys are more concerned about the environment than we are. Because if you think about it, if they keep these airlines off the tarmac, then the amount of environmental degradation, which is going unchallenged by anyone in government because they're too busy soaking these corporations for fees and bribes and kickbacks, maybe we all win in the end. Maybe these guys are onto something. He's on to say that people get a bit of a shock and they just don't know, they don't want to travel anymore. They're beginning to discover their local neighborhoods, Mr. O'Ryan says. People are staying home, talking to their neighbors, shopping locally, finding a life. They don't need to go into Prague and throw up on some Czechoslovakians to have a good time anymore, Mr. Ryan says. He says, look, British jobs have a horrible reputation in Spain and other countries all over the world for throwing up and carrying on like complete greedy bastards. I'm happy to see this trend decrease. If our shareholders suffer, I'm all for it because I already made a boatload of money and everyone else can go to hell, said Michael O'Leary, Ryanair's chief executive. He's going to say that there'll be a hit for the first couple of days, and then afterwards things will pick up. He goes on to say that, you know, people are basically stupid because they follow the neoliberal capital model. I'm going to continue to make money, and I'll probably get an OBE. Even though I'm Irish, I'll probably get an OBE anyway, says Michael O'Leary, because the government in Downing Street is a slave to the profit motive. They've got no ethics or morals. And they actually made spread bets against people dying on the Thursday bus bombs for their own personal accounts. And Tony Blair's got blood on his hands, end quote. EasyJet also weighed in on the controversy. Their traffic's down. And Stelios, the guy used to be a runway model for Caterpillar tractors. He came out and said he's all for it, too, because the less environmental crimes we commit at these airlines, the better for humanity in the long run. Now, here's something very interesting. You know, we spend a lot of our time in Paris, France. We commute back to London to do this show because we have a hardcore audience of music lovers and drug users who listen to this particular station. And they can't wait for our show every Saturday. They light up a big spliff. They sit back. And they turn off BBC, where they see American companies trying to perform anal sex with the lords of down there in the House of Commons. And they listen to this show instead.
The lords in the House of Commons.
Excuse me, the House of Lords.
The future lords in the House of Commons.
Thank you, Stacey. Thank you, Stacey Herbert.
Depending on how good of a friend you are to Tony Blair.
Mm-mm. Smells like Tony. Mm, that must be Tony. Mm, yeah. Mm. Let's see. This is kind of interesting because, you know, the French, you know, we spent a lot of time in Paris and in France, and the French are kind of upset because they lost the Olympics bid, and the people are not working, you know, the amount of people are working, and they're looking to the UK as a model and saying the UK is great. You know, they got a lot of people working and they got this whole model of capitalism that places profits over people, that places profit of a corporation over the environment, that lionizes death and destruction, that encourages bus bombers to kill people and make spread bets at the same time to make insider trading money. We love it. They love it anyway. How come we don't love it here in France? So they're thinking of, they're looking at this, and there's an editorial in today's paper saying that the Europe is thinking about taking the UK's medicine. Gordon Brown's hypodermic needle full of neoliberal capitalism. We promise never to use neoliberal on this show anymore. Please rewind the show and erase that. Gordon Brown's capitalism. The economy of the Eurozone is going from bad to worse, judging by a new report by the 30-nation OECD. They're only growing at 1.25% a year. So they're looking at Tony Blair in the UK as being the medicine they need to take to get a GDP growth going. Now, if you look at the same newspaper elsewhere, okay, they say worries as jobless rise persists in the UK for the fifth month. Apparently, this whole Gordon Brown model of capitalist expansion is running into a bit of a brick wall. The number of people out of work and claiming unemployment in Britain rose for the fifth month running, the longest period since the end of 1992 when the country was in recession. Britain's on the verge of a massive recession. The only thing that was keeping Britain alive for the past five, six, 7 years was this speculative housing bubble, which is also crashing. People are doing equity extractions from the house to go shopping to keep up with the Beckhams, and they put themselves into debt so they can look like an old posh spice bag. Now, the bills are coming due. They can't pay the bills. Wages are collapsing because of Tesco. As we've talked about on this show, Tesco lets in all those cheap goods. But at the same time, jobs and wages go to China. Net, net, your wages are falling faster than the goods you're buying at Tesco. Net, net, you're killing yourself. Net, net, you're a suicide bomber. You're committing suicide on yourself. Forget about the Thursday guys on the bus. What about you? Look in the mirror, Mr. UK British citizen. You're a suicide bomber of yourself. You're letting Tesco operate with impunity in your country. I got to buy more Tesco stock. That stock's been a winner. You know, it reminds me of New York. I was in a cafe once. And the guy sits down next to me and he goes, I should repeat that in a way that's actually coherent. A guy sits down next to me. And he says, lighting up a cigarette, do you mind if I smoke? And I go, I look at the cigarettes and I go, oh, well, they're Marlboro, right? That's Philip Morris. No, please, smoke. Smoke all you want. And he looks at me and he goes, like, why? What does it matter what brand I'm smoking? I'm like, well, I own shares in Philip Morris. You know, and I see someone smoking Philip Morris, so I'm making money. I'm making money in your stupidity. And the guy got really upset about this. You know, he got really upset about it. He actually stood up and started yelling at me in the middle of this cafe that it was because of people like me that he was addicted to cigarettes. And he started blaming me for speculating on his death. People who smoke cigarettes, what do you think that whole business is about? You don't think it's about people in offices and towers overlooking the Thames, speculating on your death, your stupidity, your narcotic addiction to something that's killing you? You don't think the spread betting industry and the city hedge fund industry doesn't make most of their money from encouraging stupid people like you, the average British citizen, from gambling your life away, sucking down carbon dioxide, killing yourself? You know, what do you think? You're a duck on a foie gras farm. You're being harvested by Philip Morris. You're being harvested by Cantor Fitzgerald spread betting. You're being harvested by HSBC and their services to the hedge fund industry. You know, why don't you just sell your organs on eBay now and get it over with? Take that money and give it to somebody who needs it. Somebody who's not as stupid as you are. Play the stupidity arbitrage. There's got to be somebody not as stupid as you. Sell your organs on eBay and give them the money, I would think. But anyway, so the UK, the jobless rise is persisting for its fifth month in the UK because the UK is about to enter a massive recession because the entire economic growth, so-called growth of the past few years, has been a mirage. It's been a counting trick. It's the Enron. You know, Gordon Brown is the Enron of modern finance. You should go the way of Bernie Ebbers and go to a low-security prison somewhere in Yazoo, Tennessee, wherever Bernie Ebbers is now spending the next 25 to 30 years of his life. It's the same accounting tricks. It's not accountability. Where's the cost for the environment, Gordon Brown? Don't you live somewhere in England? Don't you suck down the air we breathe? Don't you drink the same water? Don't you eat the same food? Oh, that's right. It's all catered. No, you live on planet Gordon Brown with Tony Blair. According to Tony Blair, there's no connection between the bombs in Iraq, between the bus bombing in Iraq. There's no connection. No. There's no connection between those two. You launch an illegal war into Iraq. You kill 100,000 people. You're waging economic warfare against an entire population of people, the Muslim people, who happen to be sitting on something you want, oil. You're killing people left and right illegally. You bypass all international sanctions, all international conventions, all international rules and regulations. Start popping people left and right. You hire mercenaries to do it for you because you're too much of a coward. So a couple of them get through, kill a few people, and now it's a holy war. It's all their fault. We had nothing to do with it. It's the Immaculate Chancellor, Tony Brown, Tony Blair, the Immaculate Chancellor. He's got nothing on him, man. He's clean. He's Teflon. As a matter of fact, I heard him speaking in the House of Commons, and he's actually got stigmata flowing out of his wrists. There's actual stigmata. He's dying for our sins of consumption. What a guy. Meanwhile, according to the Financial Times, a U.S. consumer group has called for cigarette-style health warnings on soft drinks to alert people to the harmful effects of too many sugary beverages. The proposal by the Center of Science in the Public Interest, the CSPI, highlights the increasing pressure on soft drink producers such as Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, over their alleged role in the obesity epidemic sweeping North America and Western Europe. Western Europe, that includes you, you fat British pig. In a petition to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the CSPI said people, especially young people, needed warnings about the risks of obesity, diabetes, and tooth decay associated with excessive consumption of sugary drinks. Yeah, they go on to say that every can of Coca-Cola has 10 teaspoons of sugar, according to the Financial Times. And they're thinking about putting some warning labels on these cans of Coca-Cola. One suggestion was, quote, to help protect your waistline and your teeth, consider switching to diet sodas or water. This would be, you know, Stacy, this reminds me when they first started putting warning labels on cigarettes. You remember it started off saying, cigarette may be dangerous to your health. You know, and then it became cigarettes, you know, they could probably kill you, stupid. And then they started putting photos of people who were dying from cigarette smoking, you know, with their jaws, cancer-ridden jaws hanging off their cancer-ridden faces. Didn't stop people from smoking, though. Doesn't stop the tobacco industry from selling cigarettes. Doesn't stop those people from speculating on whether or not you die or live. They don't care. You're cannon fodder for their profit sheet. You better get used to it. You better wake up to it. You better do something about it. Or maybe not. Maybe you just like to be a smoking, drunk, fat, donut-munching cannon fodder for spread betters than Cantor Fitzgerald. You would think Cantor would have known better. They lost 600 people on 9/11. Did they change their ways? Absolutely not. Because they're addicted to insider dealing, insider trading, market manipulation, accounting fraud. Those are the pillars of modern society. That's what makes the British economy go. That's why France said no to the European Constitution. That's why France continues to fight the good fight against the invasion of neoliberal Anglo-Saxon capitalist locusts, tearing up their economy, destroying their livelihoods, and bringing in a model that promotes profit over people and ends up generating more garbage than humanity. It's garbageism. Who wants it? Not in France. They don't want garbageism. You know, just because people in Britain are down on their hands and knees licking their own vomit that they throw up after leaving the pub at 3 in the morning, having made money spread betting on the death of their neighbor, doesn't mean that France has to emulate that, does it? I don't think so. So these soft drink warnings are going to carry warning labels and photos of people and the effects of drinking sugary drinks. You know, I think they should just put photos of fat Americans waddling down the Champs-Élysées. For example, that would turn people off from drinking sugary drinks. They should have a photo of two fat people trying to have sex. They're so fat that genitalia can't reach each other. That would put people off from drinking sugary drinks. That would be a good warning label. According to the Financial Times. So the I don't think there's any medicine that needs to be taken by continental Europe. I think continental Europe, because they're growing at the way that they're growing in a way that's not actually creating more pollution. It should be the other way around. Dominic de Villepin should be lecturing Gordon Brown on running an economy that doesn't generate so much garbage. I'd like to see that debate. I'm surprised the French haven't picked up on this. Don't they listen to my show?
Yeah, and that doesn't generate so much obesity and like mental illness.
Damn right, Stacey Herbert. Damn right. So, yeah, Blair says you've got to uproot this ideology of evil. He goes on to say in this Guardian article, Tony Blair says, we've got to uproot the ideology of evil. And I'm calling on Ariel Sharon to stop killing Palestinians. This is what Tony Blair is talking about in the House of Commons now. He says, this whole bombing thing has its roots back to Israel's genocide in Palestine, Blair says. What does he think he is? Some colonel in the American army slaughtering Indians on their way west? These Palestinians have as much right to live as anyone. Sharon should stop killing them, Blair says. Meanwhile, two Palestinians were killed in yesterday's operation, thanks to Sharon. And Sharon has banned Palestinians from entering Israel territory or traveling between the towns. He says they need to be punished. Why do they need to be punished? Well, according to their finance minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu. Yehu! Netanyahu.
Netanyahu.
Netanyahu. Ben Netanyahu. According to the finance minister, he said, if we stop killing Palestinians, what about our free market revolution? Stock market in Israel is going zooming. Just like those dead people on the bus helped the spread baiters make money that day, dead Palestinians helps the Israeli stock market hit new highs, says Netanyahu. The capital market is a major part of this move to free markets. I don't care how many Palestinians we got to kill, the former prime minister says in an interview with the Financial Times. The smart money is rushing into Israel right now. They've got, as a matter of fact, tractorfuls of money coming over thanks to Caterpillar Tractor. So what happens is Caterpillar Tractor, they roll into Palestine. They kill some Palestinians. They build some condos for rich New York Jews living in the condos now in Israel. And then they bring Caterpillar tractorfuls of cash back into the Israeli stock market. Like it's a free market. It's a free market. Mr. Netanyahu hails from the right-wing Likud party, was speaking during last week's visit to London, aimed at enticing foreign investors to kill more Palestinians. His visit was overshadowed by the news that one of his stocks that he owns was doubling in value thanks to some insider trading that he helped manipulate the week before. What we are doing is going sector by sector, town to town, village to village, house to house, killing as many Palestinians as we can because my stock's going up, he says. I know it's not a laughing matter, but sometimes the hypocrisy is such that, you know, it's hard to read without actually, you know, coming to terms with the hypocrisy here. Barriers to competition, heavy taxes, large public debt, and welfare culture are some factors that have been holding Israel back from realizing its dream to become a mini Britain in the region. All right. That's Netanyahu. He's coming in with his thoughts. He's the, you know, the funny thing about this guy is that he was in London the day of the bombs. Right? What was the story there?
Well, according to the Associated Press, he had advanced warning a few minutes beforehand to not go outside because apparently there were going to be some bombs. And though Associated Press, I have to say, is denying that they backtracked on the story. They said, oh, actually, the warning came after the bombs to not step into the
bombs. Those embedded journalists, they were they're giving a little oxygen in exchange for rewriting the news. What has happened to the journalism in the world? In America, you can't be a journalist without going to jail. You know, because, they got a case over there now where a couple of journalists wrote about Karl Rove outing a CIA agent, which is treason, high treason. You know, in the old days, they would take this guy down to this town square and hang him. But, you know, a couple of journalists are writing about this, and so the corporacy and the hypocrisy that runs the government decided to take these people to court, and now they're blocking all these views, these opinions, these journalists, this news from getting into the public domain. We can't handle it. You know, Bob Geldof and Bono say that the public can't handle the truth. It's too scary. They should just wave their arms back and forth, wear a little plastic armband, and say, we love black people in Africa for a day, and then forget about it. Don't worry. The government will take care of you. Exxon loves you. Tesco loves you. Monsanto wants to be your friend. The corporations are your friends. They wouldn't hurt you, would you? You know, it's like that scene in Frankenstein where, you know, he's befriending the little girl. And then he picks up the little girl and kills her, you know, because he loves the little girl so much. This is what corporations are doing. They love us so much, they're killing us. It's the Frankenstein monster. Forget about corporate responsibility. There's no responsibility. There's never going to be responsibility in the current system. The entire system is completely broke. You need a total paradigm shift. You know, I got the solution. A lot of people say on this show, Max, all you do is whine, whine, whine. What about the solutions? Okay, here's the solution. KarmaBank.com. KarmaBank.com. That's BANQUE. Bank. KarmaBank.com. KarmaBank.com has a solution. What we say is that, you know, don't decapitate the CEOs. Decapitalize. Okay, now, in the past week in France, they're celebrating the Bastille Day, where the bourgeois took exception to the ruling class. They took them down to the Bastille. They cut their heads off. We don't have to go down that path. Yet. There's another way. We can still take advantage of right now before we get out the guillotines. It's called Karma Bank. Just like these no good companies use leverage buyouts to take over other companies and fire everybody and drain the system of its freedom and democracy, turn it into a monopolistic monarchy, you can do a leveraged sellout, you see? Do the reverse. It's a leveraged sellout. Here's a way to get rich people to attack other rich people. All you need to do is figure out which company is the most vulnerable to a boycott. A boycott is the no-cost weapon of choice of anyone who wants to take a stand against this corporate invasion of our lives that to the point where they're making spread bets on dead people on bombs to make quick bucks at our expense. And that's who's behind this. Let's not beat around the bush. Bush, Blair, and Bin Laden, they're all working together. There's no ideology issue. There is no political issue. There is no geographic issue. Because as according to Thomas L. Friedman of the New York Times, the world is flat. Geography is a non-starter. There's only one issue. Finance. Finance is the issue. The Truth About Markets is the name of the show. My name is Max Keiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert. Google me. You'll find out an earful. Google her. Maybe not. Don't Google her. Don't Google Stacey Herbert. It's shocking. She's involved in a shocking scandal. She's a scandal. Scandalous shockmonger. Anyway, that's another story.
I'm remaining silent, okay?
Karma Bank, okay? You do a leveraged sellout. You find a company that's vulnerable to a boycott through decapitalization, through a boycott. The number one company in the world right now that's most vulnerable to a boycott is Coca-Cola. Is it the worst company in the world? Maybe not. Who cares? It's the most vulnerable company in the world, and that's what counts. If everybody who's against the war against the illegal war, against Charles Clark, using this as a land grab opportunity to start a ID card program, which is just going to give another huge piece of business to Microsoft and other IT terrorists. Anyone who's against all these crooks, Tesco, and all these predatory lenders like Bradford and Bingley, HSBC, Barclays, all these big finance crooks. If you're against all this, if you really don't want this to all happen, you don't want to consign your kids to a future where they have to buy their daily oxygen supply, buy water, buy seeds, and buy catastrophe insurance because their entire public domain has been co-opted, raped, and pillaged by public by private corporations. Do what I'm saying here. This is a quick and easy way. Find a company that's vulnerable to a boycott, Coca-Cola. Stop drinking Coca-Cola until such time as two things happen. The revenues start to go down in Coca-Cola, and then you've got the hedge fund industry, which are mercenaries. They're the financial equivalent of the contractors in Iraq killing people for money or the contractors on the bus killing people for money. These are hedge fund managers who'll do anything for money. They will see that nobody's drinking Coca-Cola. They will start to attack the stock using financial derivatives and options. They'll buy puts. They'll sell the stock short. They will attack Coca-Cola stock. So what you've got a situation is you, the man on the street, has the ability to incite rich people to attack other rich people. Rich people in the hedge fund industry will attack rich people who own Coca-Cola. You can make that happen. Once you get these rich people to attack other rich people, you then are in control. You then are in power. You then are telling Coca-Cola what they should do if to call off the boycott. It's not like Gandhi, thing of the March to the Sea, or the civil rights thing in America where they're boycotting the buses and all that stuff. That's old school. That's old style. This is the new finance, hardcore, hedge fund enabled, super leveraged, public, global boycott brought to you by KarmaBank.com. Okay? And in this way, if you go to the website, you'll get all the information about this. You can decapitalize these companies, decapitalize the crooks, cut them off from their money supply. And if that doesn't work, then we go back to the guillotines and we decapitate them. Okay, in America, they got the Second Amendment law. The Second Amendment law gives citizens the right to bear arms. Why was that put in by the founding fathers? To protect citizens against their own government. Because the founding fathers know that if you give people power, they tend to abuse power. And after a certain period of time, they go back to where they came, which is a monarchy, which is what's happening in the United States. It's becoming a monarchy. You're getting a class system. You're getting an aristocracy. And freedom and democracy, as a matter of, as we covered on this show last week, are two words that are not used in the Chinese version of the Microsoft products because Bill Gates sold them. He sold the two words, freedom and democracy, to the Chinese. He's got no respect for freedom and democracy. It doesn't exist in America. So net, in America, you got people with the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, and if they don't like what's happening in Washington, it's their duty. They're duty-bound to take up arms and storm Washington for a regime change. Take back your government. You've got the legal precedent, and more importantly, you've got the guns. Now, that's Plan B. Plan A is decapitalize first. Try the decapitalization technique. It's a nonviolent technique. It shuts up all these fat, you know, Tony Blair. He's the second he leaves office, within 5 seconds, he's going to be speaking on the speaking tour, and then he's going to be the CEO of some hedge fund. You know, Colin Powell just joined a venture firm in California. A firm in California to do that does they took Google public, and it's a venture capital firm.
They all become bankers. Before, people used to do, like, run companies. Now they actually just go into being bankers.
You used to have people become, you know, in the clergy, become in the education, go into politics. They used to go into, you know, amateur sports used to be big. And then the Olympics turned into professional sports. It's no coincidence that London won the Olympics. It's become a big business. Why would it be in France where they support the spirit of égalité, fraternité, and liberté, and the, you know, freedom and democracy? That doesn't jive with the Olympic message, which is now about making the most money. And it doesn't matter if you're pumped up on drugs sold by the pharmaceutical companies. You compete in events which are branded. You're going to be in the East End of London, thanks to a giveaway from Brown and Blair to private contractors who will end up, you know, milking that region for private profit, the way that they screwed up the rail system for private profit. The way that they screwed up the Millennium Dome for private profit. The way they screwed up the NHS for private profit. The way that these private contractors have been allowed to come in through the PPP schemes or the PFI schemes to steal your public assets rape them, milk them, take all the money, and leave the carcass behind. Leave you the bone. You're sucking on a bone. Basically, what you're left with, sucking on bones. Then you vomit in the street. That's about it. That's the British experience. Vomiting and spread bedding. Those are the pillars of British society at this point in London. What'd you do yesterday, Charles? Vomited and I spread bed. You like my accent?
I really like your accent. Who I don't know who it was supposed to be.
I don't know either. How come Americans can't do a British accent?
I don't know. They could do an American accent easily.
I know. I don't understand why that is. I think it's because it's close. It's too close, and it somehow misses. Ow! Ow! Oh, my God. Well, yeah, Sharon. He's Sharon. Sharon. My Sharona. You remember that song?
I do. It was back in the days when I was 4.
Well, if you don't believe me, that the corporations are basically trying to turn you into consumer robots, and their whole model is you killing yourself, suicide bombing yourself for them to make money. Check this story out. Parkinson's drugs stimulate urge to bet. Patients treated with drugs for Parkinson's disease can turn into compulsive gamblers, a study suggests. Doctors in America treated 11 patients who had a change of personality when prescribed drugs that mimic the behavior of the mood chemical dopamine. One of them was a clergyman who said that he had become obsessed with gambling, and a woman patient lost $100,000 and broke up her marriage as a result of the same obsession. She could not drive past a casino without going in. Other patients lost as much as $200,000 in 6 months. When the drugs were withdrawn, the gambling habit disappeared. 6 patients also developed other behavioral problems, including compulsive eating, increased alcohol consumption, and an insatiable appetite for sex. Ladies and gentlemen, this drug will be dispersed to you freely from the pharmaceutical companies as easily as your local heroin dealer is free to give you a free sample if you're a productive member of society, turning into a crackhead and a heroin addict. This drug will be available to you free in every major casino in the world. The UK, of course, is inviting the major casinos of the world to come into their economy and build big casinos. The casino industry is really where you gotta look to find out the trends in corporate, global corporate jihadists who would rather see you dead than alive. You know, the casino industry very famously comes up with the ideas like building casinos with no exits. You can't see the exits. You get lost in the maze of the slot machines. There's no clocks. You don't know what time it is. The free drinks, the perks. So you're in a drunken haze, just throwing your money into the casino's pockets. And, you know, on the way out, they'll throw you a bone to suck on the street. You're broke. You know, and you think that's a good time. And, of course, all the books and the movies and the intellectual stimulation that would have maybe shown you a way of life different than this have been removed from the libraries by Charles Clark and his counterparts in America because they're afraid that if you see other... It's like 1984. You can't see anything. You can't see the images of people having an alternative lifestyle other than being a dog and a pig for a casino, the casino pig. So you get this whole generation now on their cell phones sucking down this Parkinson's drug to make them compulsive gamblers, winning trips to Vegas. And then the drug companies are performing vivisection on these people to see, you know, testing drugs. That's why the anti-animal vivisectionist campaigners need to be support. Because after they get finished the animals, who do you think they're going to come after? You and me to test these drugs. You want your brain pried open by Pfizer to see how this dopamine turns you into a compulsive sexaholic gambler so you can line the pocket of casino operators? Okay, you're into that? I forgot you're British. That's right. You like to go to Spain and throw up. Well, anyway, they got this drug, turns people into compulsive eating, increased alcohol consumption, insatiable appetite for sex. And, it's a drug that is coming to a free dispensary near you. And it's being developed quite aggressively. And it will make the job of turning you and your life into an afterthought and cannon fodder remarkably more easy. Won't it, Stacey Herbert?
I think so. What, if you take this drug?
I think so. And they're going to just slip it in the water. You know that the water supply in the UK has trace amounts of a few
Prozac.
Things. Prozac. So there's already Prozac in the water. So if they get enough people taking this drug, mm-hmm. it'll appear in the water supply, and then therefore, ipso facto, everyone will be on this drug, which will turn them into gambleaholics. And then everyone will be buying shares of casino stocks as a hedge. So like you're in the city, you work at a hedge fund, your kids are strung out on crack, and so your response is, maybe I should buy more stock in casinos. But I need a hedge because my kid might pick up a gun and shoot me. So I better buy more stock in casinos because I need to pay for my funeral. You know what I'm saying? Like it's because the markets invert logic. They turn people against themselves. This is the problem with so-called free markets is that it turns people against themselves because the, you know, we saw it just recently, Stacey Herbert. Let me refer to this case.
Which one was that?
There's a new term for it.
Okay. Oh, for gambling on yourself.
Check it out. Okay, public school boy has admitted killing his parents uh-huh. before using the credit cards to fund a 30,000 pound spending spree. He's been jailed. Uh-huh. Where his brain will be used as an experiment for this new drug. Brian Blackwell, 19, stabbed his father and mother at their home. He then took their credit cards and went on the spending spree, including staying at the presidential suite of the Plaza Hotel in New York City. Now, what they're saying this guy has, the problem with this guy is he suffers from narcissistic personality disorder. Narcissistic personality disorder.
So this is all he has for killing his parents, stealing their credit cards, killing his parents in order to take their credit cards. He has narcissistic personality disorder.
Well, that's what he suffers from. And this is what we all suffer from because we're all being fed these drugs that make us look at our fat, obese selves in the mirror and say, I love what I see. I better go gamble some more. I love the fact that I've got cancer thanks to corporate irresponsibility. I need to go drink some more cancer-causing products.
Yeah, but speaking of the ideology of evil, I mean, that sounds just like evil.
It is.
Why aren't we having a 2 minutes of silence for having teenagers that kill your parents in order to go shopping? It sounds like the Anglo-Saxon business model.
There should be 2 minutes of silence for this. They're turning your kids into narcissistic predators to look at themselves in the mirror, see a fat guy on drugs, addicted to gambling, addicted to sex, and saying, I want more. I can't get enough. And the pharmaceutical company is saying, here's how you get to the next level of your video game celebrates violence and slaughter in the street. You know, the teenage kids in the bus who blew themselves up, the kids in the bus who blew up themselves up, you know, this is a culture that's celebrated in the video games. This is a culture that's celebrated in a culture that has no values whatsoever, only profit. No values, only profit. Only money, only profits, only prices, no values. That's the big difference between Britain and France. France has values, cultural values, historical values. There are people who actually value human life here in France still. There's still some left. You don't find that in Britain. Now, looking over at California, our friends over at DreamWorks.
Mr. Spielberg, Mr. Geffen, and Mr. Katzenberg.
Yeah, the three principals of DreamWorks. Suspicious sales of DreamWorks animation stock could be the core of Securities and Exchange Commission's look into the studio's dealings. Monday morning, in a planned conference call for investors, DreamWorks animation officials conceded that the SEC had questions. That's like the FSA, isn't it, in this country?
Very good.
They had questions about the way the company's stock was traded. The company also announced that it had dropped plans to pursue a new stock offering to raise $500 million. Officials said that for the past 8 weeks, they'd been conducting an analysis of DVD sales. So apparently what this all boils down to, the suit claims that the defendants, that Spielberg, Katzenberg, and Geffen, flooded the market with DVDs of Shrek 2. They got that guy Shrek involved now, the ogre.
And the Scottish ogre.
And his little funny donkey. They're involved in a massive alleged insider trading scam. Even cartoon characters are committing heinous acts of financial insider trading. Well, apparently they flooded the market with DVDs of Shrek 2 last fall and followed the release with false claims of success, thus inflating the newly formed DreamWorks animation company stock price.
Who would have ever thought insider trading happening in America?
The suit alleges that the company's insiders knew this, and that when the truth was revealed on May 10th of this year, the stock price tumbled. By then, according to the suit, all the principals had cashed out and made handsome profits, leaving holders of the common stock to fend for themselves. For some reason, just about no one covered this story in the mainstream business press or Hollywood trade publications. You know, that's clearly, I can tell you why. Every single schmuck in America wants to be in a movie. That's why the people in Hollywood can act with impunity. You know, you're a producer in Hollywood, you just defecated on some cop's face, doesn't matter, he's got a script he wants you to produce. Oh, you're a starlet in Hollywood? You're peeing on yourself in the middle of the highway? Oh, that's okay, because of the guy my phone is ringing. Who's calling me? I gotta call this off. It's Katzenberg right now. He wants me to star in a new movie, an animated vomit film takes place in Britain.
And we're gonna have to retract these statements. We're gonna have to cut the story because if you want to be in this film, if you want to be in an animated avatar of an RKO horse racer announcer, you're not going to be in it unless you back off.
I'm going to be in a new movie.
Back off.
I got to drop this story. I got to star in a new movie directed by Spielberg, produced by DreamWorks, called British Vomit. It's going to make that movie Trainspotting seem like The Sound of Music. They thought Trainspotting was full of vomit? Nah, that's nothing. We got a much more vomitous film for you coming your way. Directed by Steven Spielberg. Alleged Inside Trading. Starring Matt Damon and Max Kaiser. Directed by Steven Spielberg. What else do they say in this thing? Well, remember, they say that nobody in the trade publication has picked up on this because it's a copyright cartel, right? Copyright cartel. Copyright is one of the most dangerous facets of the world that we live in. The copyright, the fact that intellectual property gets bought, put on private balance sheets and never to re-enter the public domain is one of the reasons why people are blowing themselves up on buses, because the music sucks. All the movies suck. All the books suck because it's all been behind private bars. They can't stand it anymore. Get me out of here. They'd rather take a chance and see something fresh in Allah than stay here and watch the same guy, Shrek 3, Shrek 4, Shrek 5. How many Shreks do we need? I'd rather blow myself up than see Shrek 7. So anyway, you know, what's it going on? Filed on behalf of the class of somebody. Oh, yeah, the same firm represented Mike Ovitz. You remember Mike Ovitz went over to Disney for like 6 months. And then he said, nah, I don't like Disney. Give me $90 million. So he took $90 million. The shareholders sued Disney for this. I don't think they got anything back, really.
No, they didn't.
And, of course, we saw something similar this past week. When you got a new CEO taking over there, J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan is part of a power struggle.
They forced out that guy, Purcell.
They forced out a guy that they had hired. They signed him to a contract for $32 million to stay on for 2 years, but he had an out. Or tell them, you know the details of this.
No, they signed him on to a two-year contract. However, whoever negotiated it was brilliant because apparently if he left by August 1st, he would receive a $32 million payout. So if he left within the first 2 weeks, he was going to get a $32 million payout. Otherwise, he would have had to stay, work hard, justify his salary, work hard for a Christmas bonus. Instead, he left after 2 weeks.
How do I get a job like that? Well, that's a good job.
Well, it was in our residence contract. Had we left after the first week, we would have been billionaire. We would have been like Chris Evans. We would have been as rich as Chris Evans. Instead, we're still here at Resonance, working hard for our Christmas bonus.
Well, you know, this proves, once again, that this model that business uses and government uses is broken, and it creates, unfortunately, huge wealth and income gaps. Okay, there's a little interesting phrase, wealth and income gaps. Wealth and income gaps are widening in the United States and in Britain and all over the world, despite what economists tell you. The global trend is because of the emergence of the Chinese. You know, the emergence of the Chinese make it look like the poor are getting richer, but just done using statistical foolishness. But the fact is that in countries that matter most to us, because we're either American or British or Australian.
Or Irish.
wealth and income gaps are widening because money is being drained out of the system with these types of deals. The guy just stole $32 million. It's not a one-off, though. You know, it's happening every day hundreds of times. There's billions, hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars. You know, it was just reported last week that the amount that hotels overcharge business customers per year is $500 million a year. That's just nickel and diming these business customers, $5 here, $10 there. $500 million they skim off the top. And this guy skims $32 million. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. It adds up to hundreds of billions of dollars. Meanwhile, you got Paul Bremer, for example. Remember him from Iraq? He was over there in Iraq for a while. He's a U.S. proconsul. He's concerned because, you know, they're looking over at the books over in Iraq. And he's $8.8 billion is missing.
Oops.
$8.8 billion is missing, according to Paul Bremer. Now, put that into context with this Live 8 G8 fandango. At the end of G8, what the leaders came out of the conference with is forgiving basically $1 billion worth of debt for Africans for 10 years. That's like, I know pimps in Harlem carry more money than that in their sock. Paul Bremer lost $8 billion on his way to lunch. Forgiving $1 billion a year? Why don't you just whip out your willy and pee on all over the Africans? You know, I think they would be, at least maybe they could use it as fertilizer. It would have some value. What the hell are you doing, man? Aren't you ashamed of yourself? You actually walked out of the conference with that? The Africans, this is the cradle of civilization. We all come from Africa. These are our parents. You know, we all come from black semen. If you go back far enough, these are your mother, your father. This is what you give them? Jesus Christ. Paul, Bono and Geldof. Of course, Bono is a partner in Elevation Partners. He's an investment banker, just like Colin Powell is now a venture capitalist in California. Geldof with Ten Alps, his entertainment company, he made the comment that his altruism should make the valuation of his company go higher. Okay, Bob, I can see your heart's in the right place. There's no shame. If shame traded on the London Stock Exchange, it would be trading at a new all-time low. It would be trading for less than a P. It's more like PP. There's no shame.
No.
There's no shame in that economy. It has no value. Just like they don't value the earth, the ecology, the habitat, human life, animal life, ecosystems, they don't value morality, ethics, sense of humility. None of those have value by any of the corporations who do business or any of the government officials who are on the take from the same corporations who do this business. As a result, the ecology is breaking down in real time. 200,000 counties in Britain are flooding. Cities are sinking. Catastrophe insurance is becoming too expensive for most people so that your insurance coverage is disappearing. Health benefits are evaporating because the health care providers are private contractors and they're stealing. The transportation system is breaking down because it's private. And those private contractors have taken all the assets, and they're breaking down, and they don't have any money to repair it. And your taxes are going to go up, regardless of what Brown says, because he's a crook. Full stop. The economy looks good on paper for a few years. So what? Now it's hitting the wall. It's going to break down. Unemployment's going up. House prices are going to crash. Interest rates are going to keep going up. Tesco is going to keep undermining your economy, lowering your wages, and that's the truth about markets. How much time we got left on this show?
We have 6 minutes. But speaking of catastrophe,
woohoo! It's party.
Didn't you know? There's another hurricane heading for Florida. Yeah. This one's Emily. Dennis ripped through there last week. But insurance companies said they're not going to insure anymore unless the government basically provides the cash behind them. Right.
Right. Okay. Well, they can't afford it. It's finger pointing. The government, the corporations, good cop, bad cop.
Uh-huh.
Right, so insurance companies play the role of bad cop. Say, we're not going to insure anybody. And the government says, oh, you got to help these people. They're uninsured. I mean, you know, aren't we civilized? And these two do a little dance, and they're in each other's pocket, and the insurance will disappear. People are going to lose everything. And if they don't lose it through a hurricane, they're going to lose their homes through eminent domain. Eminent domain, according to the Supreme Court in America, gives people, private contractors, the same people who are manipulating stock markets and hiring mercenaries to blow up buses so they can make money in the spread bet market, are now in the position to force people off their land to build shopping malls because they get more taxes from a shopping mall than you get from paying your local property taxes. So you don't, you have no rights. You have no civil rights. You, according to Clark, even if you question their policies on terrorism, quote unquote terrorism, you are engaged in preparatory acts to quote unquote terrorism, and you can be subject to house arrest. So you have the no freedom of speech. In America, there's no freedom of speech because, as we pointed out, the New York Times journalist is going to jail because they reported on the fact that within the highest levels of the White House, there's been treason.
But Judith Miller went to jail without, she didn't even write the story. The contact, Karl Rove, mm-hmm. contacted her and told her, you know, tried to out Valerie Plame through him, through her, and she didn't print the story. Mm. But she's still gone to jail. This is like a pre-crime. This is like the emerging trend, pre-crime.
What are you going to do about it? I mean, you know, if you're still listening to this show and you've heard the whole show, then, and you didn't switch over to hear some, you know, Boomtown Rats remake of I Want to Teach the World How to Appease Everybody, then you clearly you're interested in maybe doing something. And I'll stick to my guns on this one. The easiest way to topple the corporate world is to boycott Coca-Cola. I'm not saying Coca-Cola is a bad company. I'm not saying Coca-Cola is a bad company. I'm saying that Coca-Cola is the most vulnerable company to a boycott. Okay, there's a big difference. I don't care what Coca-Cola does, actually. Who cares? All I know is that they're vulnerable. It's a $100 billion company. If we all boycott Coke and the stock drops $50, $60, $70 billion, this will have an impact in the world. It'll show that the people are running the show, not the corporations and their lapdogs like Blair, Brown, Bush, who do their corporate bidding. We have to take back what is rightfully ours. What about you? You there listening. Put down that joint. Put down that bong pipe. Put down that remake of Patti Smith. Put down that, who else? Who else do they listen to on this station?
Who's that guy with the glasses? Odd Music.
Who's that guy with the big glasses I like?
I don't know. His show is
We saw him on the street one day in Soho.
Oh, Jarvis Cocker.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good.
Boy, he should be involved. Where is he these days? He's a smart fellow.
You'll never believe, but I saw that he's presenting a TV show.
Oh, that's right. I did read that.
About, like, pop music used in television.
Yeah.
He's been co-opted.
Oh, no.
It's probably for 10 Alps Communications.
Oh, dear. Well, isn't anyone in the music scene over there, like, got any guts?
The only guy left is Gil Scott-Heron, and I think he's in jail for using cocaine.
Yeah, but he's not. I'm talking about the UK. I mean, this is residents of FM 104.4. They've got a hardcore music crowd. They listen to us over in Shoreditch with all these musicians out in the street.
How about the
looking
guy
for work?
How about the guy from Blur, Damon Albarn?
Oh yeah, he seems like he's got his head screwed on.
Oh yeah.
Well, he should come out and do something, man, political before it's too late. Bob Geldof is a complete corporate lackey. He's done more harm than good. More harm than good, Bob Geldof, as George Monbiot inferred in a column not too long ago. They got to have some other musicians over there. Anyway, this is The Truth About Markets. My name is Max Kaiser. You can Google me. Find out everything you need to know about me, you numbnuts over there in the CIA in Langley. We got Stacey Herbert on board, as usual, breaking it on down.
Yeah. You know, we speak the truth about markets. We speak so truthful that we actually got an email this week from somebody who suggested that we are actually fake. We're CIA agents trying to convince people to write into them in order to find out who supports
the truth
freedom.
About markets.
It's not a joke. I will. If you don't believe me, just ask me and I'll send you the email. You're not going to believe it, but
yeah, the Orange County thing in California.
Because they know that the CIA knows everything. You know, they listen in on everything. So only they know this kind of inside information.
If you want to send us an email, send it to thetruthaboutmarkets@gmail.com. We'll be happy to put it in our show next week at this time on Residence FM 104.4, the best radio station in the world. Till next week, hoping your week is as enjoyable as our sex. Bye, y'all.